Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
As we are working our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which is primarily about the use and misuse of the spiritual gift of tongues, we also find quite a few references to the gift of prophecy. The two are contrasted and compared and paralleled one to the other. And along the way also, we have some references to the spiritual gift of interpretation of tongues, which is a different gift from the gift of speaking in tongues. So in chapter 14, primarily we're talking about tongues, but in the context of that subject, we have references to prophecy, and we have references to the interpretation of tongues. And we've come to a slice of this chapter that I call regulating tongues. It's verses 26 through 33, and there are four things primarily covered in this section, two of which we have covered in the past, and two more which lie ahead of us for today. We have, first of all, a statement of purpose in verse 26. I'm not going to read this again, but this simply tells us that everything that is done in the church is for the purpose of edification. If it won't serve that purpose, if it won't serve the purpose of building up the Christians in a better understanding of God's Word, then leave it alone. Leave it out. Don't put that in your church service. So, statement of purpose, edification. This is why Christians come to church. The second part, verses 27 and 28, is about the regulation of tongues. If anyone speaks in a tongue in church, there are three regulations. The number of tongue speakers is regulated no more than three. The manner of presentation, the manner of speaking in tongues, is also regulated. Each one in turn, no two people speaking at the same time. And the necessity of interpretation is the third regulation. The tongues must be interpreted if they're going to be exercised in church, and if not, if there's no interpreter present who is able, by the miraculous gift of interpretation of tongues, to tell us what these two or three tongue speakers said, then no exercise of tongues today. They must be interpreted, or else there should be no tongues. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. That's what we've learned so far. But we're also going to move on to regulation of prophecy and the requirement of orderliness. But I pause to welcome you to this Tuesday, May 10 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, thanking you for tuning in and thanking those whose financial gifts make this possible. Regulation of prophecy. Not just tongues are regulated, but they are. They are regulated. If anyone is going to claim the gift of tongues today and exercise it in church, they're going to demonstrate their submission to the authority of God's Word by exercising them according to divinely given regulations. If anyone isn't willing to do that, then you can just assume that they are not people who are biblical Christians. Yoo-hoo! But not only are tongues regulated, but also prophecy is regulated. By the way, don't get mad at me here. I say this again. I said it a few broadcasts ago. I didn't write any of this. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Scripture, inspired and given by the Holy Spirit of God to His apostles, in this case the Apostle Paul. And we learn elsewhere in Scripture that those words given by the Spirit of God through an apostle are equally the words of Christ as if He had spoken them upon the earth. So these are the words of Christ. Christ said this. God is giving these regulations. Don't get irritated with me. I'm just trying to help you clearly understand what God has said. And if you are a sincere Christian submitted to the head of the church, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are eager to know what Christ has said. You will want to conform your life and your practices after the Word of God. But if you're not willing to do that, then there's something terribly wrong with your profession of Christianity. So after the regulation of tongues in verses 27 and 28, we have the regulation of prophecy in verses 29 through 31. And it's very similar. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first one keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be encouraged. Regulation of prophecy. Well, what do we learn? We learn that the number of people with the gift of prophecy who speak in a church service are the same number as the number of people with the gift of tongues that are allowed to speak in a church service. It is only two or three. Let two or three prophets speak. That's the same thing we were told about tongues. Let it be two or at the most three. Prophets likewise. Two or three. And it says, let the others judge. Now that's maybe a little bit obscure, but think it through. In the case of tongues, we know that they were people who not only had the gift of tongues, but they were people who were given the gift of interpretation. So what the tongue speaker spoke could be and must be interpreted by someone who has the gift of interpretation, who could tell the congregation what the tongue speaker spoke. Well, what about the case of prophecy? Is there such a thing as someone with the gift of the interpretation of prophecy? No, because prophecy doesn't need interpretation. It's spoken in the language that people understand. And yet, let the others judge. Why? Evidently to certify authenticity. Apparently, in the case of the exercise of tongues, the interpreter served this same function with tongues. In other words, if somebody claimed to speak in tongues, and who can tell? They're speaking in a language that nobody understands, so who can tell if that's authentic or not? The person who has the gift of interpretation can tell. They could say, that's no tongue. That's no language. He didn't say anything. Or, even worse, what he said was blasphemous. What he said is contrary to truth. That's not something that has been given by the Spirit of God. And so the interpreter could serve as a judge of authenticity in the case of tongues. Well, who would serve as a judge of authenticity in the case of the prophets? Because you've got the same thing with the prophet. The prophet is one who receives divine revelation from God and communicates it to the people, but is it possible for someone to claim to have the gift of prophecy who does not? Is it possible for someone to claim that he's speaking the Word of God, but he's not? Well, of course it is. Just read the Old Testament Scriptures and you'll find examples of that many times throughout the pages of the Old Testament. People who claim to be prophets, but God said they're not my prophets. People who claim to be speaking the Word of God, and a true prophet of God said, that's not God's Word. That's not what God said. You are false prophets. The true prophet would either authenticate or pronounce inauthentic what another prophet said. If it was truly from God, then someone with the gift of prophecy would recognize that. That's the word of the living God that brother so-and-so said. He is a true prophet. Well, evidently, you've got the same thing here. In the case of prophecy, there must be a certification of authenticity. Verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others, plural, the others who have the gift of prophecy, judge. Let them pronounce that what is said is a valid, is an authentic message from God. It is truly divine prophecy. And it goes on to say in verse 30, but if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Now that's another verse that's a little puzzling. We scratch our heads. But all of this, putting it together, looking at it, helps us to piece together what appears to be the practice of that day. And this verse would suggest that the prophets spoke short revelations followed by explanation. As the tongue speakers spoke a short message, we didn't have anybody bringing a whole sermon in tongues, but a tongue speaker would speak a word, a sentence or two, similar to a verse of Scripture. And if it was authentic, the interpreter of tongues would say, this is what the person said, and would give it to you in, we would say today, plain English, but of course in the case of Corinth, it would have probably been in Greek. And likewise with the prophets, they apparently spoke short revelations that were followed evidently by an explanation. In other words, it sounds very much to me like what the prophet spoke was considered Scripture. The New Testament Scriptures were not given yet, but they spoke something like a verse or two of Scripture. All right, you've got the Scripture, you've got the Word of God. But when you have a sermon, you take a text and then you expound the text, you explain the text. And so evidently, the prophet would first speak his revelation and say, now let's consider what God is saying to us through this prophecy. Apparently the same prophet would do both. In the case of tongues, somebody else would interpret the tongues, but there's no indication that there was anyone else with a different gift to, say, expound the prophecy, different from the one who declared the prophecy. But here's what we're told. If something is revealed, verse 30, to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. So, Prophet A speaks his prophecy. He is beginning now to take a few minutes and expound on his prophecy, a little short message, a devotional based upon the prophetic scripture that he's just spoken. But while he does that, there's another prophet sitting there who signals, I just received a revelation from God. Okay, if that happens, let the first person sit down and not give his explanation at this time because, and here's the point, revelation is superior to explanation. In other words, the Word of God is superior to the expounding of the Word of God. Expounding is important, but it's not infallible. It's not inspired. But divine revelation is superior because it is infallible. It is the very words of God. Whereas what the preacher says about the text is his understanding by studying the very words of God, and there needs to be maintained a distinction between those two. Come back tomorrow. We'll continue. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.